Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bethlehem's online worship service. I'm Blake. I'm the vicar, the student pastor, the internship pastor here at Bethlehem. I'm so glad that you have joined us today. It is warm and sunny here in Lakewood, Colorado. Maybe the weather's a little different where you are today, and that's great. That's okay. We are here today to receive God's good gifts. And today we are starting a new worship series based on our 5-2 strategic planning process, where we have spent months going over the values of Bethlehem and creating a 5-year vision for the future. And so today we're going to kind of introduce all of that. And I pray that it is a blessing to us. Here at Bethlehem, we worship an incredible God. And it's in His name that we worship, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, your name is healing, your name. over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak, Jesus.
For God's people gathered together in person and online to confess our sins, our need for God to make a way for us. So please join me in a time of confession. Most merciful God, we come before you today as people who are sinful and unclean, as people who are in need for you, to make a way for us. And Lord, we pray that you do. We pray that you make the way forward for us, that you indeed, as you say through the prophet Isaiah, blot out our transgressions and choose to forget our sins, Lord. We pray that you do this in the name and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing. We are celebrating, basking in the glow of Easter, where we celebrate that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And because Jesus is risen, God has blotted out all our transgressions. He has forgotten all of our sins. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's turn our attention now to God's Word. Our first reading is the basis for the message today, and it is from Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, the one who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the old things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they may declare my praise. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This too is the word of the Lord. And our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This too is the word of the Lord. And as God's gathered people, we have the ability, the invitation to share, to confess who we believe him to be. Today we'll be using the ancient words of the Nicene Creed. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." Dear Christian friends, as I mentioned at the beginning, we are starting a new series titled Our Next Generation, where we're going to be going through the 5-2 strategic planning process. We're going to be sharing the values of Bethlehem and the 5-year vision for Bethlehem. And we'll be going through where we believe God is leading Bethlehem moving forward. And as we look to the future, it is very natural for us to reflect and to look back on the past. My wife, Hannah, and I do this. We often will open our phones and go to the Photos app, and we'll start scrolling through pictures of our life together. Pictures from our wedding day, pictures from when we dated, pictures of vacations that we went on, things that we've done. And then we find pictures and videos of our son, Judah, and we think about how much has changed in just our 7 years of marriage, our 10 years of knowing each other. In fact, Judah being born is probably the biggest change that has happened in our lives. In fact, this is the face that I made when Judah was born. Yeah. Not maybe my proudest moment, but this is the face that I made when the doctor handed me the surgical scissors to cut the umbilical cord. Me, the man with the weakest stomach on planet Earth. Maybe you can tell in this picture, but there is a lot of fear in this picture. Fear of the unknownness of parenting. Fear of how hard parenting would be. Fear of failing as a parent. Fear of how a barely 6-pound little boy was going to change my life, how he was going to change my routines, my comforts, how he would change Hannah and I's relationship dynamic, our marriage. And let me be clear, parenting has been awesome. Becoming a parent has been a wonderful blessing for Hannah and I. But the change that was brought on with having a child, it brought a lot of fear. A lot of fear. Now, looking back can be fun. Bethlehem is about to celebrate its 100th birthday in a few years. And as Bethlehem gets ready for its 100th birthday, and as it celebrates its 100th birthday, there's going to be a lot of looking back. Looking back at how Bethlehem was started in a home and then worshipped in a shopping center. How they rented space from Wheat Ridge Methodist Church before finally building a basement sanctuary. And how then a few years later they were able to build the first chapel here at this location on Wadsworth. And how they worshiped in that space until eventually moving into this space where Bethlehem worships today. Bethlehem will look back on how it used to own the medical center not far from here. How it had the PAC, the PAC that's now been renovated into kids' space. Bethlehem will look back on how it created the Commons, which now hosts a Thursday worship service called The Table for our working poor and homeless. As Bethlehem turns 100, it will look back on the school. How the school was started in 1940 in this tiny one-room schoolhouse. And how 10 years later, they needed to do a massive building project for the time. Which they then did again in 1958, and then again in 1979, and then again, and two more times. They've renovated, done building projects for the school. Bethlehem will remember the past ministries, the existing ministries that started long ago. Bethlehem will remember the mission trips that youth groups took. Bethlehem will remember how Mary Martha Society was started by young moms who were looking for fellowship. It'll look back on Lifelight, which was started by young adults who wanted to dig into God's Word. Bethlehem will remember men's events and bowling leagues, musicals. Some will remember how Pastor Zender was incredibly protective of the grass and how he would tell people to get off the grass that is now covered up by the Commons. Others will remember how the gym used to have carpet, and now it has this beautiful hardwood. Many will remember all of the vicars over Bethlehem's time, especially the 32 vicars under Pastor Languish's leadership. Well, maybe not. We're kind of forgettable. There have been a lot of us, right? But these are all of the things that I have gleaned over my 9 months here as Bethlehem's vicar about its history, the moments, the ministries, the memories that Bethlehem has made over its nearly 100 years of life. And these are things that we're going to look back on, moments and ministries and memories that show us God's faithfulness. And as I've heard these stories, these memories, as I've looked back over these pictures that you've just seen, I couldn't and can't help but think that Bethlehem has never stayed the same, that Bethlehem has kind of always been in a state of change. And God has led this church through change after change after change. Different worship spaces, a house, to a storefront, to a chapel, to multiple spaces, to just one space here, to a Southwest campus. Different worship times, different worship service styles. God has made a way and led this church through different pastors and teachers and principals and staff and lay leadership through different seasons of ministry. Seasons where youth group was booming and seasons maybe where it wasn't. Seasons where the school was blossoming and seasons where the school enrollment was down and then blossoming once again. Through all of these changes, through every single one, God made the way forward. And as we move through this series, as we look through the vision, look at the next 5 years of Bethlehem, we're going to be talking about how God is leading us, the way that He is making forward for Bethlehem. We're going to talk about how we can strengthen existing ministries like The Table or Lifelight, our school, kids ministry, ministries that are already going, that are thriving, how we can continue to reach new people. And we're going to talk about how we can reach brand new people, people that aren't necessarily part of the Bethlehem ecosystem yet. We're going to talk through new directions and new opportunities. We're going to be talking through new things, which means change. And even though we can look back on our past and see that God has made a way forward for Bethlehem for nearly 100 years, change is still hard. Change is hard because it brings fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. Fear of losing something that we find valuable, something that we love through the change. For some, it may even bring a fear of being left behind as we talk about going and trying to reach new people. The people in Isaiah's time were struggling with this same type of fear. You see, in Isaiah's time, God's people had been to the mountaintop. He had led His people out of Egypt, out of slavery, to the promised land, and had turned them into a mighty nation where they had power, wealth, and influence. But during Isaiah's time, that changed. You see, God's people walked away from His way. Kings led God's people away from His way. And so God proclaims judgment. God shares with His people that become divided, two kingdoms. He says, Northern kingdom, you're going to be wiped off the face of the earth. He tells the Southern kingdom, you are going to be exiled. Judgment is coming, that they'd be slaves once more. That's a big change for God's people. God is saying, you are on the mountaintop, you are going to be brought low. And that change, rightfully so, terrified God's people. And so God gives a beautiful reminder in our Old Testament reading in Isaiah 43. We're going to look at verses 16 and 17 first, where God is identified as the God who makes a way in the sea, a path in mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior, and who quenches them like a wick, who makes them lie down so they cannot rise. This is a callback to the Exodus, to the mighty, the dominant saving work of God in the Old Testament. The thing that God's people in Isaiah were looking back on and hoping that God would exodus them. God is reminding them that He is the God who makes a way for His people. And He says, I made a way through the Red Sea. I made dry ground in the midst of water. And then when Pharaoh's army came in, I crushed them, and I did it for you. But then God says something truly, truly wild, something unexpected in verse 18. God says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. The things that He was just identified as doing, God's saying, forget that? Well, no, not totally. God is not telling his people to completely forget the Exodus from Egypt, to not remember it, to not celebrate it. God is trying to turn his people's eyes forward, to certainly look at the past and to see what he has done, but to expect him to do something different, something new, to make a way for them. Verse 18 is a call from God that his people trust him to make them a way that is new. And that's what he gets at in verse 19. He says, remember not the former things, verse 18. But then in 19, he says, behold, look, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Don't you see it? Truly, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Wild beasts will honor me, jackals and ostriches. I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, so that my chosen people may drink. God is promising a new thing to his people. But that new thing doesn't necessarily look or sound new. And that's because it's similar in the sense that God is promising to make a way, but that way is not the way that he made for Moses and his people coming out of Egypt. Instead of putting dry ground in the sea and crushing armies, God is instead going to put water, a river, in the driest ground. God is promising that he's going to lead his people through the wilderness, that he will make a way for them through the wilderness back from their exile, in Babylon. And God makes good on this promise of making a way and bringing his people home. God does bring a remnant from Babylon back to Jerusalem. He makes a way for his people. And friends, God promises to make a way for you, for me. God promises to make a way that is different than the way he made in Egypt, than the way he made back home from Babylon. God promises to make a way that delivers us from sin, death, and the devil, a way that moves you forward in his love, a way that doesn't look back at your past, at your mistakes, at your sin, a way that he says in verse 25, blots out your transgressions for his sake, that chooses not to remember your sins. Which means that your past, your sins are not remembered. They're gone. You have a way forward. And God made good on that promise to give you a way forward. He made a way for you that you couldn't make for yourself. Not through the sea and not through the desert, but through death itself. He made a way through his son. He made the way through his son. Jesus came down for you, and he died for you, and he rose for you, giving you the way to the Father. The way that can't be taken from you. The way that will not crumble. The way that is sure and steady, the way that doesn't depend on you, the way that doesn't look back on your past, the way that leads you home. And God, who makes a way for you, is making a way for us collectively as his people, as Bethlehem. God has not led Bethlehem, his people here for almost 100 years, just to abandon us now, to leave us to our own devices now. No, God makes a way for us, a way forward. And that doesn't mean that the way forward, that the future will be easy. We have a five-year vision, but that future is still unknown. There are going to be obstacles that we can't foresee. The future may indeed hold failure. The future will have change, and change is hard. It's terrifying, but God promises to make the way forward for us so that Bethlehem is exactly where we need to be. That we personally are exactly where we need to be. As a church, that might mean supporting ministries that aren't exactly for us, that are designed to reach new people. It might mean volunteering in ministries like The Table, or kids ministry, or youth ministry, volunteering in the school and early learning centers, volunteering to go down to the Southwest campus to make that our worship home so that we are able to reach new people, that we share with them the way, that we share with them Jesus. It might mean letting go of some of the things that we hold and cherish, doing things differently as a church. And all of this may indeed bring a sense of fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. Fear of being left behind. But we have nothing to fear. God makes a way for His people. God makes a way for you and me through seas and deserts, through death itself, a way that is sure, a way that does not crumble. And He makes a way forward for us as the church. So let us trust that He will make a way forward for us personally, but that He will also make a way forward for us as Bethlehem, a way that points us to the future that He has prepared for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, we thank You for today. We thank You for making a way forward for us, for being the way forward for us, for forgiving us, and for spurring us to trust that You make the way. And Lord, we pray that You do make the way, that You lead Bethlehem where we need to go, that You help us reach more and more people with this good news that You are the way. And indeed, yes, that You are the truth and the life, Lord. Lord, we pray that You be with all those who are in need of healing. We pray that You be with those who are grieving. Lord, we pray that You be with doctors and professionals who are in their care, that You put people in the lives of the hurting who can point them to You. Lord, we pray that You be with our country as there's lots of unrest in the Middle East, Lord. We pray that You provide cooler heads, that You provide healing to our world. And Lord, we pray here in Colorado that You provide moisture for our state. Whether it be rain or snow, Lord, we just need it. We pray You provide it. Lord, we pray that You help us to influence those around us purposefully, that we take the time to point them to You down Your paths. Lord, we pray that You be with us with the Southwest campus, that You remove red tape, that You remove barriers and boundaries, that we are able to create a ministry that truly loves on. Be with us as we launch an early learning center there as well. We pray that though we're wrapping up our intentional time of strategic planning, that you help us see Your way forward, and that you make the way, and that You indeed then lead us down the way. Lord, we pray for our summer camp, that You help us find a director who will love on the children this summer. And Lord, we pray that You continue to be with the ministry of Lutherans for Life as they do wonderful work to support mothers and babies, Lord. Give them strength and guidance as they do this good work. And Lord, for all these things, we commend them to Your care, trusting that that you will do what you know is best. We pray this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As an act of grace, God invites us to his table to partake of his Son's body and blood. And in the reception of that, the eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and our faith is strengthened as we go out into the world to accomplish all that God has given to us to do. So on the night in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way also he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good, whole. You are good, good, whole. You are good, good. You are
Now may this bodily eating and drinking of Christ's true body and blood strengthen and preserve you unto the one true faith, until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. And having received the many gifts of God, I now encourage you to join together by holding hands or standing next to each other with an arm around each other to receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen.